Blog Talk Radio.
Now what the fuck is his name?
Ghost Dog.
What?
Ghost Dog. Ghost Dog?
He said Ghost Dog.
Yeah, he calls himself Ghost Dog. I don't know, a lot of these black guys today, these gangster type guys, they all got names like that they make up for themselves. Is that true?
Sure. He means like the rappers. You know, the rappers. They all got names like that. Snoop Doggy Dogg, Ice Cube, Q-Tip, Method Man. My favorite was always Flavor Flav from Public Enemy. He got the funky fresh flyer flavor. Live lyrics from the bank of reality. I kick the flyers to maneuver technicality. Do a dope track. I love that guy.
I don't know anything about that. But it makes me think about Indians. You know, they got names like Red Cloud, Crazy Horse, Running Bear, Black Elk.
That kind of shit.
Yeah, Indians, niggas, same thing.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lot.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey, folks, guess what? You're not hallucinating. This is the Grindhouse Mashup, a special mixtape version of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk and the Comic Shop featuring the uncanny Daryl B. Excuse the expletives, but I just love that intro. It's from the cult classic Ghost Dog, and that's a Jim Jarmusch film. Oh, I think it's about more than 10 years old now, I think, at least that much, maybe 12 years old. I would suggest you check out that film, Jim Jarmusch's Ghost Dog. All right, let's go to a quick groove, and then we will beam up the crew to do the show. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. And remember, this special mashup slash mixtape edition of the Comic Shop and Afro Nerd Radio, it's essentially when the lines become more blurred. And I do mean B-L-E-R-D, more blurred. So we're going to get to it. Let's go to a quick groove, giving you the best of nerdcore and urban alternative, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul. This is Robert Glasper featuring Jill Scott and the great Queens native, Pharoah Monch. This is Calls. Groove, we'll be right back.
I don't even have to question if it's real or not.
when my car broke down in the parking lot. You were there. You didn't stutter or hesitate. You come to my rescue once again. Like that. You always answer calls when I call. You come. You always answer my calls when I call.
Hello? Of course I do. I come when you call, even before the call is audible. Bow, then I'ma swim a nautical mile. Intrinsically before you pick up the phone to dial. There's an intimate connection, something triggers a smile. I'm here for you, I'm here for you. You're next to me, essential, essential. Telepathy, in the center of Times Square, I feel like I'm in isolation. Tune out a billion sounds and I can single out your vibration. Your lips, tongue, my eyes are closed but I can see them calling me to come. Faith without.
All right, we're back once again, thanks to the Mighty Pharaoh Monch, Jill Scott, and of course, Robert Glasper. Folks, this is the Grindhouse Mashup, where the lines are truly blurred between Afro Nerd Radio and, of course, the Comic Shop. First up, we have Captain Kirk. Captain, you're needed in engineering. Let's get to it.
Game one, Spurs.
Yes, and I'm rooting for them, believe it or not. I'm rooting for them. Not so much of a Miami Heat fan, I'm just saying. But we'll see how it plays out. I'm sure that our resident sports has his take on this as well. And speaking of that gentleman, the uncanny Daryl B, with a slightly different intro, I think.
Hey, yo.
Hey, I like that.
Hey, I'll just say it like this. I'm doing the show. I'm looking at USA versus Nigeria. I'm waiting for the Belmont Stakes to start. I got the Rangers winning game two and bringing it back to New York for the game three tied. And with all that being said, it is Afro Nerd. I got breaking news. Peyton Reed, director of Yes Man, is now going to direct the Ant-Man film with Adam McKay consulting on the script. Folks, check out Comic Book Resources. It just came across my feed. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave us that info, Daryl, because I found out about it like literally minutes before we went on air. And I'm familiar with Peyton Reed because I can't recollect the film, but I think it was a film he did with Tony Randall, the late Tony Randall, a few years back, and Ewan McGregor. And it was a film that was meant to remind you of the 60s. It was definitely one of those pillow talk films from the early 60s, something that you would see like a James Garner or Rock Hudson doing. So it definitely went. That's the reason why you saw Tony Randall in it. But because of Peyton Reed's involvement on that movie, and I'll get the name of it in a moment, he was one of the first names tied for a movie before we got the first incarnation of the Fantastic Four. And I suspect initially they were going to have a 60s motif for the at least his version. So I think he's a capable director. And I was definitely interested somewhat before we started seeing how Marvel was going to go with their movies. When he was involved in – when there was talk about him doing the Fantastic Four, the idea of literally bringing the 1961 version of Fantastic Four to the silver screen, that would have been interesting, but I don't know how it would have worked going forward. But well, actually, it's not tied to the Marvel Entertainment thing, so, you know,
yeah, but
I might have been that, I might have been intrigued. I might have been intrigued about it.
But that being said, hey, 2 months ago, I was all in for the Ant-Man movie. Right now, to say I'm confident in this movie, it's like saying I'm confident in the United States economy. Very, very trepidatious, if you catch the drift.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Darryl. Edgar Wright's involvement, his passion, hell, the guy worked on this thing 8 years before it was actually going into production. And then all these directors that Marvel was actually trying to solicit to do the film, and nobody wanted to do it. I think there might have been something going on about, you know, we didn't really like some kind of a fraternal thing with these directors. I don't know. Did you get that, Darryl? It came off as if, like, you know, we're not going to support you, Marvel, because you did our boy wrong. Am I correct in that?
I would believe so, man, because, you know, Adam McKay's been waiting for the big shot directing thing like this, and he didn't want it, although he will be consulting on the script, so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe behind the scenes they smoothed things out with Edgar Wright, because there's talk of Edgar Wright working with Marvel Studios again on something else. You know, that's, again, talk. There's nothing concrete or down on it, all right? Cap's more on the business side than I am, but as a casual observer and an uber nerd, it just felt wrong. Everything about this felt wrong. This is the one bit of news so far that has felt right. But even with that said, there's only so many, like, little marks or little X's or little strikes you could do to a property like this, Batman, Superman, do a property like this where you're still feeling, you know, I'm all in for this. This is one time, Marvel Studios, you got to prove to me you can make this work.
Yeah, I'm a little, as you said, trepidatious about this thing. Let's move things along a little bit. I'm very interested to talk about this series that's on Showtime that actually the captain told me about. Captain, I would prefer for you to kind of set this up. You told me about this thing. I've been hearing about it, because I'm always coming across stuff, but I might not have ever paid attention to it if you didn't say, hey, you better check this out. Tell us about Penny Dreadful, Showtime.
Well, I'll let you get into the historical record after I say what I say. This is what I normally do. I glance at trailers, I glance at advertisements, and I can innately assess the situation. And normally I'm dead on based on what they're showing me, how good it's going to be, what level it's going to be, and everything else. This is what I do. You know, that's my special talent. So people say. That's what I've been told by numerous amount of people. So I looked what was going on with Penny Dreadful, and then a few other people told me about it. And I said, okay, let me check this out. Let me see what this is about. Okay, you have Dorian Gray in Penny Dreadful. Everyone knows about Dorian Gray. You have vampires in Penny Dreadful. All right? You have Dr. Frankenstein and his monster in Penny Dreadful. You're going to have Van Helsing in Penny Dreadful. So I said, okay, this might be something of note. This might be worthy of checking out. So I checked out the first episode. I thought it was a little slow, but the acting was paramount. You have serious actors in this, very serious actors. Checked out the second episode. It's a little slow, but good acting. By the third episode, that's what you have to do with most of these series. You have to give it three episodes. If it doesn't have it by the third episode, it doesn't really have it. By the third episode, this show is on and popping, my friends. On and popping. On and popping. And, you know, comparing it to, let me give you something to compare it to. I compare it to actually somewhat like a Sleepy Hollow to a certain extent, because Sleepy Hollow has a lot going on, even though I think Sleepy Hollow is a better show, but Penny Dreadful is a more serious show. I think Sleepy Hollow is a better show, but Penny Dreadful is a more serious show. It has a bit more serious acting and everything else going on. So I think it's worth checking out for the listener. Something just for you to check out. Since you have all these characters that you already know in there, it's built in a new sphere, so you should just check it out. Give it three episodes and see if you like it. Now, back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd. You can get into the historical record of Penny Dreadful and where it comes from and everything.
Yes, the Captain. You know me so well because I have to go there for some reason. First of all, I guess what really got me into it, when the Captain started actually getting into doing a comparison notes on this, he said, listen, this is essentially a better version of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. We know of that debacle, but we also know of its comic book roots and how many of us would have wished that movie had turned out to be a lot better. Maybe they may go back into that. You know, we had the great Sean Connery. That was his swan song on that deal. He said, I'm out of the acting game after this. The poor man. The great Sean Connery. So, and I also think that came out just before they really got a handle, the Hollywood elite got a handle on what this nerd culture is all about. And if you're going to do some kind of comic book interpolation, sci-fi, fantasy, this whole world, you better really approach it seriously. You better have your CGI game tight. So in order to be a bit more terse, it's essentially a better version of that. It mixes genres. It mixes several different genres. You're dealing with the steampunk situation. You're also dealing with Victorian England, right at the cusp of modernization, industrialization. And to get more accurate with the historical aspect of this series, the term Penny Dreadful is, dare I say, a precursor to the comic book. So that's what really got me involved in this thing. From my understanding, I'm pretty sure Daryl's already aware of this, you had the comic book coming out, the superhero comic, I should say, to be more specific, coming out 1937, 38, 39. That's essentially the American comic book. Before that, you had pulp magazines where you have your heroes, because now they've actually been inputted into the comic book genre. But initially, you know, when you're talking about The Shadow, Doc Savage, those kind of heroes were from the pulp magazines. But before the pulp magazines, you had the British fiction publications during this latter part of the 19th century, and they were called Penny Dreadfuls. And they cost a penny, and they were printed on pulp paper. So if anything, it's the British version of the pulp magazine, and they told stories that were titillating, dealing with science and horror. For all intents and purposes, it was the British pulp magazine Dreadfuls. So this is what this TV series taps into. You have Timothy Dalton as the lead. You have Josh Hartnett. Whatever happened to him? He was tapped to be Superman at one point. Phenomenal young actor. What was that movie he was in? Black Hawk Down, something? Darryl?
Yeah, he was also in Sin City.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great actor. You know, you never know what happens in Hollywood. Sometimes you make one misstep, and you kind of go into a B movie, C movie kind of thing. I don't know what happened to him, but he may be back to true form with doing Penny Dreadful. And I think Penny Dreadful, is Penny Dreadful after, does it air after Game of Thrones, Daryl?
Well, it's different networks, remember.
Right, I know, but they keep on mentioning, I think time-wise, they keep on mentioning these two together.
Well,
like bookends.
The way I look at it is Penny Dreadful is Showtime's attempt to get back into the period piece game. You know, they remember Showtime kicked all of this off with the Tudors, which raised the period piece game up a notch, and then Spartacus came along, Game of Thrones came along, and Showtime was left floundering back. With Penny Dreadful, this is their first steps to come back to all right, we once had the crown, we're coming back, you know? Because remember, Showtime had Dexter, Showtime had, what's the action-adventure thing Showtime does? It'll come to me later. So they've been focusing on different things, and then they realize, hey, Game of Thrones and that sort of stuff is where we're making our money right now, but we don't want to do Sword and Fantasy again. We've already been down that road. Let's see. You know what? We got a bunch of Alan Moore stuff here. Could we do something based on this? I could actually see the it doing like that. But we don't want to do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. No. We need it a little more darker. Let's explore some more of these mythos. You know? I could see the convo going down just like that. And Penny Dreadful's born. And you know what? Cap is right. If you are a Sleepy Hollow fan, you are going to like this. All right? If you are an old-time horror macabre fan, you will love this. If you're a steampunk fan, you'll like this. But, hey, it's all about the nature of evil. It's all about very, very shady deals. It's all about the nature of humanity. And let's face it, from the first couple of episodes, you could already tell this is not going to end right for anybody. Back to you, Afro Nerd.
I have to converse with one of the folks from the chat room, COG, C-O-G. I must confess, and I actually I emailed the captain about it. You know, the fourth episode with Josh Hartnett and the
I
actor.
I warned you.
I wasn't paying it. Listen, you kept it real subtle. You know, there were two scenes that were a little too rough for me. The scene, you're not giving too much away, the scene with the dog. Dorian Gray. The fact that you have all these different characters is very interesting. Dorian Gray, you got Frankenstein. Even that was a flip because we thought there was going to be one Frankenstein's monster. Ultimately, there's one. You kind of felt for the first one, Proteus. Maybe Proteus will make a return. I don't know. But the audience is getting to become endeared to the Proteus character, and then something happens. So I'll leave it at that.
Something happens?
Well, I don't want to say too much because some folks haven't seen the entire series. But with Dorian Gray, and Dorian Gray, the captain said after my unsettling scene of an alternative lifestyle, just trying to be respectful here, you know, he's true to the character somewhat. That character, in order, you know, the fact that he can never age, it allows him to be to live a very debaucherous lifestyle. He's able to have orgies at a whim. He's taping, he's filming stuff, and he's seducing stuff. He has some power of seduction. You get that. But the part where he seduces Mr. Hartnett, who is the rugged cowboy. I'll just say that much. Hey, to each his own. I'm going to rep for Cog out there. To each his own, respectfully. That was a little jarring. That was an Oz moment, and that was another series that Captain, your predecessor, Mr. Stark, said you got to see it. You got to see it. I was into Oz, but then Oz kept on pushing a certain agenda, and I had to respectfully decline. So Penny Dreadful, I will try to see how long I can hang with it. But I do love the series. But you know, listen, I guess I got to keep it real, quote unquote. But that's a rough. I wasn't expecting that. And also maybe Josh Hartnett, you know, he's an actor. I'm not going to cast aspersions about this guy. But sometimes when you need to show Hollywood that you can play ball, you do some stuff. You do some stuff. But other than that, Penny Dreadful is it's on and popping. I will say that much. I really like it. I really like it. And it comes on tomorrow also. So episode 5, if only we could have seen this on the big screen. Maybe because of the success of Penny Dreadful, maybe they might want to go tap into doing a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. What are your thoughts about that, Darryl? Then we'll move along.
Well, hey, look, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, one of the best parts about the league is you're working through all of literature, all of historical characters, you know? You may mess up one movie, but the way that universe is crafted, you could, as long as you could get the right entertainment houses to buy in and stuff, you could have literally infinite amount of combinations of characters working on that template. You know, the line it is drawn over in Comics Should Be Good, right, at Comic Book Resources. They had one where they had the artists come up with these lineups. So one artist came up with an all 80s squad for the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where it had Magnum P.I., it had Mr. T. or B.A. Baracus, it had Scarecrow and Mrs. King on it, it had what's his name from Back to the Future, the Doc, you know, where you take these intellectual properties and put them together like a team. I mean, it could be the big movie comparison to, like, the Defenders. We're not a team, but we're forced together to work to a common cause. I hate you. I don't like you. We come from different ideologies. And it works. It works because people want to see the friction as they solve the cases. You know, that's why I think that's a property that will never truly die. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, gentlemen, I want to move things along a little bit. I'm sure we will go back into Penny Dreadful as the series progresses. I know that, I guess I'm not shocked that it's already, and again, the fifth episode has not been shown yet. It's already been approved for season 2. So it's already rocking and rolling. So I doubt they will retract that green light like they did for Mr. Hall a few weeks ago. So I think that's on and popping, as they say. Folks, this is the Grindhouse mashup where the lines between Afro-Nerd Radio and the comic shop are truly blurred. B-L-E-R-D is the operative word. And the call-in number, as always, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. I'm thinking we should go to a groove, gentlemen, and when we get back, I want to talk about this thing that's coming from The Root. I don't know how to take it, but Henry Louis Gates' The Root, that website, there's an artist, or a visual artist, that has a picture of a blonde, young, white female wearing a Morehouse T-shirt as a artistic piece. So I guess it's supposed to be controversial, I guess. We're gonna hash it out because I don't know how to take this. I guess I'm supposed to be, I don't know, jarred by it. All right, we're gonna go to progressive hip hop. Actually, this is a classic, and that's exactly what it's called. Classic. DJ Premier, Rakim, Nas, KRS-One. Let's groove. We'll be right back.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic. I'd like to return to the classic.
Can't buy this, super flyness, like a shyness, your highness, it's performing, look how long the line is, it's what happened, you make shit timeless, it's what happened, these rappers is the pioneers, what do it take to be a legend like Nas is, I'm so novice, I'm so polished, I got a right to be a little bit snobbish, I did a little bit of college, semesters, it took two like Robbie, so let me figure out, this wasn't my place, the beat slow till you listen to my pace, cause I be killing shit, but that's evident, and y'all feeling it, but I expected it. If it's classic, it's gon' last forever, then I'm everywhere. You never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Fly straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere. You never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Fly straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Report down, represent to the fullest. Nas, I rock well.
Perseverance. See the fake hustler rapper, to them it hurts to hear this. Oh, you went platinum, yeah, that's nice. Now let me see you do the same thing twice. Two times, four times, then a couple of more times. Please, you're amateur night, it's showtime. It's one life to live, so live it the best you can. The world could use one less man. Not enough air, not enough car factories to manufacture new vehicles, sedans, and vans. When they do make the whip, you're like your chips ain't right. By the time you could afford it, the car ain't imported. In the street timing, it's just iron. Cops keep firing in my environment. Leaving your slump, then they drive home. Far from the hood, brothers, they eager to jump on. I like to be the wall that they toast up on. I like to see them fall, guilty for doing wrong. I'm classic like the Air One, the hustler's you. That's what I'm accustomed to, yeah.
Classic.
Fly straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Fly straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
Of course, we have Blastmaster KRS-One.
How many y'all got criminal minded? You, y'all, don't be blinded. Me, I got no jewels on my neck. Why? I don't need them. I got your respect. KRS-One, 20 years I rock. I do it for JMJ and Scott LaRock. This hip-hop, and we the nation. Don't you want to hear more KRS on your radio station? Instead of broadcasting how we smoke them trees, on the radio we need to hear more local MCs. Where you at? Come on, where you at? This is the difference between MC and rap. Rappers spit rhymes that are mostly illegal. MCs spit rhymes to uplift their people. Peace, love, unity, having fun. These are the lyrics of KRS-One.
Classic.
Live straight classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic. I'm better than I ever been.
I'm Rakim, the fiend of a mic.
Yeah, is y'all ready for 2007? It's now another drought. Everybody's a killer, wow, we bugging out. Just 86 showing the crowd what I'm about. And they still wanna know when the album coming out. Acting teenagers, OGs, and ass kids. What the definition of classic is? Timeless, so age don't count in the booth. When your flow stays submerged in the fountain of youth. Ain't no doubt in the truth, I'm off the meters. Everybody co-sign it, even non-believers. I came in the door, became one of y'all's leaders. In the fresh pair, Air Force One sneakers. Uptown, we call them uppies when they on divas. Probably one with KRS-One teachers. Nas made you look before the heaters. I bet your car had them on when he walked with Jesus. Jesus
classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
I'm everywhere, you never been, and better than I ever been.
Classic.
Live straight classic. Classic.
I'm better than I ever been.
All right, folks, pulling out the phaser once again. The song is appropriately called Classic. the premier lyricist of our time. But anyway, we appreciate it. Folks who always give you the best of urban alternative groove, progressive, emphasis on the term progressive, progressive hip-hop, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul, acid jazz, you know, funk, the good stuff, the stuff that you no longer hear on conventional radio, we will play here at the mashup. All right, we have a person on hold. We'll bring that person in a second. I do want to talk about this, just bring up this topic, then we'll bring in, we'll start taking calls. There's an article courtesy of The Root, and I actually put a link in the chat room, so check it out. It's talking about a photograph that's part of an art exhibit that's at NYC now, presently, the Black Eye art exhibit, New York City. This particular photograph was done by visual artist Sanford Biggers, and it's simply a photograph of a white female wearing a Morehouse T-shirt. So it's funny how that has so many implications. It really doesn't have any implication for me, but curious as to why we continue. This is where I get into a kind of a conservative mindset, folks. We continue to mythologize people. Now, we mythologize folks like Spider-Man because he really is myth. Okay? Wolverine, those people. But just common white folk, we seem to mythologize. So now this simple photograph has political implications. Now, for self-disclosure, you know, folks, longtime listeners know that I attended, for my bachelor's, I attended a HBCU, Hampton University, and I was accepted at Morehouse. I could have easily been a Morehouse man, and I think about that sometimes. But, you know, my parents, the Oracle and the Wedger, affectionately as they're called on the show, they were a bit apprehensive about me attending Morehouse because I didn't have a home base in Georgia. You know, in Virginia, where Hampton is, I have relatives there. So at 17, 18 years of age, they were a bit reticent about sending me away and not really having a base of operations if something were to happen. That's the only reason why I didn't go to Morehouse. But Morehouse, for the uninitiated, is an all-male school. It's an all-male college, well-renowned. Many folks have, you know, the alumni are spectacular, from Sam Jackson to Dr. King to Spike Lee. And the female equivalent on the same campus, the same grounds, is Spelman. She could have worn a Spelman shirt. Why not have her in a Spelman shirt? But to have a white woman in a black male college T-shirt, there's like 20 different things you can read out of that photograph. And I don't know why it has to be that. Why does it have to be that political? What is jarring about it exactly? I think it's reading too much into nothing. But I know that the artist is trying to provoke. So I'm going to go to the call first, and then I'm going to open it up. I'm going to really pass it around, go around the horn. So let's go to 703. Welcome to the Grindhouse, courtesy of AfroNerd Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What's up? 703.
Hey, this is Bison for Life. How's up?
Hey, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, Bison. All right.
A couple things. So my family attends Morehouse, so I think I know what I speak about this, and they don't care. They just think this is just art. Nothing more, nothing less. We got bigger fish to fry in our community than this. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Quick thing, I want to talk about something. Now, I want everybody to hear this, but please go back to the archives and listen to the show from this past Wednesday, because I think Captain Kirk dropped some knowledge that all of us need to hear. I've heard it before, but Captain Kirk sounded like, you know, Captain X. He dropped some knowledge. And I hope everybody, it's going to take several listens to digest it, but I think he really brought out some great points.
Well, that's why he's on the show, Bison.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
I mean, it's really, you know, it's something. It took me back to the mid-'80s back at Howard when Louis Farrakhan and Kwame Ture and a whole bunch of people come through campus, you know, dropping knowledge on us. But I want to get back to something Deber's been talking about, and I hope, Deber, you kind of go more into it. But we're going to have to start framing our stuff in our own, like you say, in our own space. Because, like you've been saying, there's so much stuff coming out now, and we're not even in the picture. And I read somewhere that there are no black-owned television stations in the United States. None. Zero. There used to be about 30 or 40, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, but through consolidation, there's none. And you expect us to be in people's narrative? We don't own any media with all the media consolidation? I hope people look at that. And all the twittering and wishing in the world ain't going to be happening. We'll have to start forming some type of coalitions and, you know, putting egos aside and moving forward some of these projects. No, we just going to be whitewashed out.
Well, you know, what, it's funny why you bring it up, Bison. I want you to hold on for a moment because you tapped in to something that really relates back to what I'm talking about. This photograph of this white female in a Morehouse T-shirt, what it's supposed to imply, I mean, listen, you could go different ways with this. It could simply be a woman in a T-shirt. It could be the girlfriend of a Morehouse man. It could be what could soon be to come, that Morehouse might end up becoming a more of a white institution. You know, in other words, in order for some of these HBCUs to survive, it may have to expand, meaning getting away from being all male and getting away from being all black. So the implication from the photo, and that's exactly what I assume it's supposed to be, or it can simply be a white woman in a T-shirt. But that's what art is supposed to do. I just don't know if we should be mythologizing it so much, but I get where this guy's trying to go, because at the end of the day, there were whites that attended and still attend Hampton. It could be a white female in a Hampton T-shirt. You will see that. There's no big deal with that because that's what it is. But in a Morehouse shirt, because of the gender issue, because Morehouse is a male school. You know, Smith, if I remember correctly, Smith College, is it still a female school? I think it's now co-ed. But I think at one point, for many years, historically, it was a female college. Beyond the realm of possibility for Morehouse to have to relinquish the all-male thing. And we know that men and women, you know, historically and statistically do better on a scholastic level when they separate the races. The gender.
You know, women can attend Morehouse. I mean, I know people from Spelman and Clark, Atlanta. I mean, I don't think you can get a degree there, but you can take classes there. So it's not, you know, no women can attend. It's just, at least right now, you can't matriculate and graduate from there.
Well, that I did not. I know that Atlanta University, all these colleges are in the same area. I know that part. But she cannot be a Morehouse graduate. You have right. you could only, as you just said, you can obtain a degree. But listen, another aspect of this is that why can't a white female or white person be a fan of Morehouse? Like, why just, you know, I wear T-shirts all. I went to Hampton. I went to St. John's, but I wear T-shirts that are not always of the school that I attended. I will wear a Orange Man shirt, a Syracuse T-shirt, because I'm from New York. You know, I have Morehouse T-shirts because I believe I belong to the fraternity of HBCUs. So I will support Cheney and Lincoln, Bethune-Cookman. I will support black colleges. So why can't she support black colleges? Just if you're just going to be, you know, just to be a person that's about it.
Let me throw another one at you, Bert.
Hold on, one thing, and then I'll let you go. Take over. What should this? I mean, should this be provocative? Should it be provocative? And go ahead, Bison.
Well, to answer your question, no, it's not provocative. Even though they have her looking provocative, hey, she could have just put on something after a night of love making, and that was just the only thing she can put on. I mean, you can take anything you want out of it. I heard another analogy. Like, what if you saw a woman wearing a Q T-shirt or an Alpha T-shirt? I'm in a fraternity, and if I saw a woman in a T-shirt, you know, I said, you don't need to be wearing that, but it is what it is. There's bigger fights to, in this society, it ain't worth it, you know. But to get back to,
I was going to say, I want to pass it around the horn a little bit. Let's go to Darryl B. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, should it be as provocative as it is?
Honestly,
is it much to do about nothing? What is it exactly?
Honestly, it's not a story. It is not a story to me, all right? And the ones that, again, the outrage, it's similar to what we were talking about behind the scenes all week when it came, or the last couple of weeks, when it came to Cuban and Sterling and everybody getting mad because of Cuban's comments and all of that. And I said, why is people getting mad at Cuban and not paying attention to the LA NAACP? In other words, you're getting mad at one thing, but you're losing the sight of what the important thing is. With this, just like you, just like Bison, just like Captain has stated, it could be any number of things that is implied by this. But you know what? Supposed to do that. You're supposed to question. You're supposed to use that thing between your head, all right? That thing between inside your head. You know, you're supposed to use your brain. You're supposed to interpret. You're supposed to withdraw questions. You're supposed to do that. Now, if you're getting upset by the questions, look in the mirror. Why are you getting so mad about it? Is there something you're not telling the rest of us? People that are getting so worked up? So a white girl has a Morehouse jersey on. So we went to Comic-Con. There were white guys wearing Black Panther apparel. There were white guys dressed up as Shaft. Were we supposed to get, oh, we're offended. You're not supposed to be wearing that. That's our thing. Then how racist do we sound? You could have an appreciation for it if you're not that color, that walk of life. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you're getting way bent out of shape about this, I would say, hey, do us all a favor and look in the mirror. Understand thyself, you know? Hey, what's the saying? Those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. To me, this is that situation. To me, this is art. You draw whatever conclusions to it you would like to, but in the end of the day, this is just art. He got a reaction out of people. Now, Is it the reaction you thought you were going to get out of the people? We will never know what his intended reaction was, but some of the extreme reactions we're getting shows how closed-minded, even in a society like this today, with all the interracial stuff, with all the technological advances, with all the knowledge at your fingertips, some of the extreme reactions that people have with this show just how closed-minded they are. Back to you, D-Bert.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Daryl, because I was thinking along the same lines. Because there is a type of thinking that when you go to Comic-Con, because I might have come across it here and there, that some of the white fans wonder why black fans are there. Like, you don't belong here. Some of that, you know, it's not. I might have heard that maybe a couple of years ago. That they wonder why you know. And actually, the people who report it, the media, they are very much into that also. They will wonder, well, why are black people here? Thinking once again, there's no such thing as an Afro nerd or a blurred. So this could really be. You know, we have to be careful when we go into these. Protestations like what this gentleman Sanford Biggers is trying to do, because if he Darryl was dead on that, is that he wants to provoke, but what is he going to get the reaction he is looking for? So I think he's looking for a specific reaction, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, in a truly multiracial society, in my head I'm thinking, well, hell, I would like to see a white woman in a Morehouse shirt, because Morehouse should have just as much weight as Harvard, the black Harvard. To be real, we should be – this is what deconstruction means. Deconstruction means that at its base, it is a school, a world-renowned, well-renowned, highly respected African-American institution. Or if you take away African-American, it's a respectable institution of higher learning. I will buy a Harvard T-shirt because I respect the institution. I will buy a USC shirt. I will buy all kinds of university T-shirts, but now she can't buy a Morehouse shirt as well-known as Morehouse is? So I'm uncomfortable with people pushing a certain agenda, and I hope he got a reaction, but not the one he's expecting. I'll say that much. Captain, what are your thoughts?
Well, one, as I always say, ultimately America is going to be destroyed from within. Number two, we don't have a truly mixed, hybrid, interracial society. That's not the truth. We have a forced, mixed, hybrid, interracial society. And within this type of society, little things can set it off. Because it is forced. If it was done naturally, you wouldn't have anything. It'd be easy. It wouldn't be any reactions. But it's not done naturally. It's done forced. So that's why you have these little things. That's why you see these flare-ups. That's why you see the Megyn Kelly effect that I documented. That's why you're seeing all of this now. Because it's forced. And when you force and keep on forcing people, even though it works. Even though you keep on forcing people, and you keep pulling from them and leaving them very little, things start to unravel. Now, if it's natural, it's never a problem. But in most cases, multiculturalism is not natural. It's something that's forced. It's forced. And once you keep forcing, things eventually begin to start happening. Now, that being said, back to the little picture with the little article, I saw it as nothing. It's a controversy made into somewhat of a controversy, and that's what these people like to do, make a mountain out of a molehill to get a reaction, to bolster their name so they can move forward. A couple of weeks from now, they're doing something else that's a bit bigger because of this right here, and so on and so on and so on. That's the game that we're playing right now. That's all. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
You know, COG, COG, brought up something. I mean, I'll take one of them. I'll bite on one of them. He says, "Are we sure? Are we sure it is a female? And are we sure she isn't black?" Now, I don't know about the female. I'm going to assume, because I know Morehouse man
wow.
thing in recent years has taken a different direction.
Yeah.
The LGBT community is strong at Morehouse's campus now. You know, the Morehouse man meant something in all its entire in all its inferences. You know, there's a big dress code thing down there. You had to be sharp as a tack. And now we're hearing that you have young black men wearing dresses and trying to, you know, fight against what Morehouse as, you know, what Morehouse has historically meant as far as a Morehouse man. So you have people trying to start something down there. But now, and are we sure she isn't black? You know something? He's got a point there, because my roommate at Hampton, he was dating a girl that looked a lot like that girl. And I remember when she first came to our room, because, again, this was the freshman year, and, it was not a co-ed facility first year. So you had to kind of – she had to be helped in. She couldn't just walk in. So when she buzzed up and I went down to see who it was, I said, "Listen, Rod," my roommate was Rod. I said, "Rod, you know, there's a white girl, you know, that's cut here for you." Now, this is mostly all black school. So then he said, "Nah, man, she's black. She's from the Caribbean, and you better not let her hear you say something like that. She'll slap you in the mouth." Now, once I got that checkmate, I never saw her that way again. But she looked like this girl. But she was a black girl. So even that, see, we didn't even think about that. We didn't even think about that. See, Q-Stone says, "No way that chick is black." You know something? Be careful about that. Because I will
never
tell
know.
You, the girl that came to see my roommate was blonde-haired, straight features, looked a lot like that girl. I'm telling you. And I mean that. You know, Mariah Carey can certainly wear a Morehouse T-shirt. That's for sure. Actually, I like that idea.
I'd rather see her
like
without
her. It's different when you know mentally. We do a mental thing. If we knew that girl, Mariah Carey, ironically, she looks more black to me because I know she's black. That's a psychological thing. People make like psychological whatever, but it is what it is. But, Cobb is on point. That's another dynamic to the Morehouse thing. How do we know? She could be biracial. It is what it is. All right, moving things along again. I want to go back to, well, we spoke a little bit about the Ant-Man movie, about Peyton Reed getting the gig. But on the flip side of that, another Marvel movie, which appears to have been green-lighted, is this Doctor Strange deal. Now we're hearing more actors being connected to this thing. And I like the idea of a Johnny Depp personally. I just thought that he looked more like, you know, because Johnny Depp, he's getting a bit older now. He's in his early 50s. He can gray his hair. He can gray his temples. We've seen him play magical characters like this before. I mean, this seems like something that would really be up his alley, but I think he's been taking some missteps with some of the films he's been doing as of late. So that might X him out of the game. It's funny how Hollywood is. Hollywood loves you when you're on a roll. But then again, they went for Robert Downey Jr., and Robert Downey Jr. was way in a different space from where Johnny Depp is. But no one saw that Iron Man would be what it soon would become. Robert Downey Jr. is that guy now. So we did hear about Johnny Depp. Now they're talking about Benedict Cumberbatch, excellent actor, Tom Hardy from the Dark Knight movies, and also they threw in Jared Leto, who recently came up with an Oscar recently. What are your thoughts about the what are your thoughts about the fact that this is being greenlighted so quickly? No Black Panther still, but whatever. You knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming. Quick note outside, California Chrome just failed to win the Triple Crown. Tonalist wins the Belmont Stakes. And the U.S. is up on Nigeria 1-0 at halftime. Now back to this. Jared Leto, if you're doing a young Doctor Strange, yeah. Tom Hardy, I never considered. That's kind of intriguing. You know, as long as there's no Bane mask, Tom Hardy, I consider to be like a younger Liam Neeson. So, you know, that one's intriguing. Still, Johnny Depp fits all the criteria of the role. Let's call a spade here. Johnny Depp is this could be the role that he was born to play, you know. And Benedict Cumberbatch, he's a rising star. But does his look say Stephen Strange to me? You know, that's the one. But we've seen it in Sherlock. We saw it in the Star Trek Into Darkness. He's got the cojones and the commanding presence to pull this off. Like I said, I'm intrigued by the choices. I got to see how the director or what the direction is, you know, and we'll see. The one thing for sure, these four guys all can act their asses off, pardon my French, you know. And for Doctor Strange, you're going to have to be able to do that because you're going to have to command the screen. You're going to have to command your scenes. You are dealing with the occult. You are dealing with a very powerful decline and then rise of the character in this movie. So just food for thought, folks. Food for thought. Back to you, Afro-Nerd.
Well, you know something? I mentioned this before. I actually like Transcendence, the movie that came out a couple of months ago, like last month. It came and went, but I thought it was a great movie, actually. It's definitely underrated. And that character was a great template for Doctor Strange. Now, if you're listening to our show, I put up some graphics, and there's actually a Photoshop up there of Johnny Depp as Doctor Strange, and I'll say bluntly, he looks exactly like he's supposed to look. No question. He looks like Doctor Strange. So, you know, Daryl was dead on this one, man. There's so many folks that could do this thing. Captain, what are your thoughts about this? I mean, it doesn't show you what Marvel goofy comic book stuff when you get these high-level actors. That's the part that's intriguing to me.
Well, I'll be terse with this. I like Cumberbatch and I like Hardy. I think they have the acting prowess, the presence. You need a lot of presence in order to pull it off. I think those two are very good, especially Cumberbatch. That's who I'm really feeling for the role more so than anybody else. But if I can't get with him, I'll go with Mr. Hardy. Not a problem. Now, something I just want to say briefly on Black Panther, just briefly. Now, let's say hypothetically you come out with a Black Panther movie, $150 million budget, another $75 million for promotion. How many, let's ask ourselves this, real honest question. That means I'm using expletives. You know, when you go honest and you start going truth, those are all, you know, four-letter words in the Zionist reality. Let's ask ourselves, how many non-black and kids are going to buy merchandising that says Black Panther? Let's ask ourselves that question. Let's be honest with it. Okay, now that you thought about it, so if I'm an executive, do I come forth with that money? Because that money right there is a lot of the hidden money that they don't talk about.
If the merchandising is going to run away, meaning which you're going to have runaway numbers with it, even if the movie sucks, they'll throw the movie out there a lot of times. You know, they don't make back the money, but the merchandising was crazy. So is the merchandising, would the merchandising be crazy for Black Panther? Food for thought. That's all I want to say. Back over to you, sir.
Well,
Apple Nerd.
All right, you know, let's go to the phones. I think Daryl had to do a quick switcheroo. And I want him to weigh in on that. I'll say just quickly, I think that, you know, Hollywood has done this before with underestimating stuff. You know, the Michael Jackson juggernaut in the 80s was international, and he made his most money when he was the most African-looking. His money started to shrivel up when he started to not quite look like himself. So it's all about really getting away from the laziness of marketing, because I keep on mentioning this. I mentioned this before. Quentin Tarantino made a movie about slavery that made $500 million. So really, if they set the Black Panther up the right way, like I would love that. I keep on thinking they got to get him and Rachel Hudlin on this damn thing. And for feces and giggles, even get some of the actors that were in Django to play some of if they do it the right way, some of the older Black Panther stuff, some of the Black Panther history. They do it like the comic book and like the animated series. They could actually, because in fact, well, his movie isn't doing that well, but Seth MacFarlane had a Marvel-esque after credit scene that had Django in it. And the audience was really digging that. They reacted. So I hear what you're saying, but they can make it marketable.
Well, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about all the merchandise. I'm not talking about the movie. The movie's not the issue.
Marketable. Well, that's what I mean, marketable. Marketable meaning that all that comes along with that. You know, this could be a shrewder, darker edge Batman for Marvel. The genius of Marvel is that they're able to tap into so many different genres with a twist. They give you the spy genre with S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a twist. They're going to give you the space opera genre with a twist, a talking raccoon. That's the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're going to give you a horror genre if they come out with a Dracula or a Blade. You see what I'm getting at? Marvel, the genius of Marvel is that they can switch around. Luke Cage represents somewhat of that blaxploitation period. They can tap into so many different things if they allow Marvel to be itself. But I hear what you're saying as far as like the toys and that kind of stuff. But hell, they were trying to sell you Jango dolls. They were trying.
It's not called Black Panther. Do you see little white kids, little Latin kids running around with their parents going, get this doll, get this for my son, my daughter? Black Panther. That's what
Black
it's called.
Panther.
It's not called Django.
But,
call Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but Black Panther has more to do with him connecting to the animal and not about him, his ethnicity. It's a double entendre thing. He looks like a Black Panther.
He is
a Panther god. They have the whole Panther god. It's not Black Panther. It came out in 1966. It actually predates the Black Panther Black Radicals by 6 months.
Well, hold on, Afro. You see what you're doing? You know the whole culture because you know comic books. The movies are made for pop culture, people who do not know comic books. That's who it's made for. That's why the numbers are so crazy. So you have to pull out what you just said. You know the culture. Daryl B. is an expert with the culture. The movies are not made for you. That's why we get so upset when they're not right. It's made for pop culture. Now, the pop culture person walks in there with their kid. Am I going to get something? This is why I said be honest. Take out your feelings, your emotions. Be honest. am I going to get this for my white kid, my Latin kid, something that says black pastor?
I saw it in front of my face. You were there. When I went to last year's New York Comic Con, there was a gentleman that was selling unabashedly black pop culture. Black pop culture. And white people were in line to buy stuff that said black stuff on it. They were buying Black Panther T-shirts. So we don't know what to expect from this thing. Let's go to the call and see what they think. 484, welcome to the Grindhouse. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's up?
Hey, guys, this is Q Storm. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Nice to hear from you.
Good.
I feel like I really shouldn't be trying to follow up with the conversation you two were having. I think it was pretty deep. I think Captain may have nailed why we haven't gotten the Black Panther film just yet. But I wanted to throw out, if we can go back to Doctor Strange,
sure.
I wanted to throw out a kind of like a out of left field pick, but I want to justify my choice. Okay. Do you guys remember a movie? I think it was either 3 years ago now, won Best Picture, called The Artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying Jean Dujardin. Give him a shot at Doctor Strange. He has the look.
Yeah.
He has the physicality. Now, he's 41 years old, the same age Robert Downey Jr. was when he first starred in Iron Man. And Jean Dujardin directed and wrote The Artist, a silent film, so you're going to get the older demographic in there to see him, as well as the comic book fans and the mainstream fans.
That's a good pick, by the way. That was genius.
I kind of like him for Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you know what? You may be onto something, but his age isn't going to be an issue because Jared Leto, you know, he's a same age, believe it or not. He looks young, but he's in his early 40s.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he plays that off very well, but he's older.
I do not see Jared Leto coming anywhere near Doctor Strange. I don't know what crack someone was smoking. I know Jared Leto is a great actor, but just because you're a great actor does not mean you can just seamlessly fit into any role.
Wow.
Why is everybody taking dumps on Johnny Depp? I just think I got a graphic up there. He looks like Doctor Strange.
I said Jared Leto, not Johnny Depp.
I'm just saying that. No one seems to be warming up to Johnny Depp. Is it because he's done too much or what?
I think he's a great option as well. But I think at this point, with what, four flops, he's too much baggage. He's too much of a risk now.
Yeah, but you can't say that when you have Robert Downey Jr., who was way in a different position than what. I mean, he had worse than just having, you know, he was barely insurable. Now he's mint. One film can turn things around.
Yeah, but you know that filmmaking, just like a lot of other things, computers, technology, the money, it's like it's a cycle of a year, maybe two. Things change, more money's on the table, and more risk is involved. So from 2008 to 2014 in Hollywood time, is decades.
I'd say five great choices. Five great choices that we've laid out here. I know you don't agree with Jared Leto, but if you saw the way he did in Dallas North 40, you know, that he had gravitas there. You know, it wasn't a traditional role. Believe me, I know it wasn't a traditional role. But, hey, Doctor Strange ain't the traditional superhero type character either.
Yeah, I can't get past the Bambi eyes. I just don't see him as Doctor Strange. I can't see him going up. If Doctor Strange would emerge into other cinematic universes, I cannot see Jared Leto going up against Thanos or any of these other characters. I can't see it. He looks like Bambi. If I were casting a movie that had a transgender in it, like they did in Dallas Buyers Club, yeah, he would be top of my short list.
All right, here we go.
Good radio today, boys. Good radio.
Listen, I'm going to be fair. This cat can do anything. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from Leto's acting prowess because he's kind of on the same Johnny Depp level as far as costuming, and that was just one role. I mean, we've gone down this road before, gentlemen. When we heard about, now I'm losing my thought. When we heard about Robert Downey Jr., we didn't necessarily warm up to that. And then all of a sudden, like, we can't think of anybody else. I mean, Heath Ledger, anyone? When I first heard Heath Ledger, I was like, oh, man, this is going to suck. I don't think that way now. He blew the great Jack Nicholson's performance. We don't even think about that Joker anymore.
Okay. Let me shut up.
I think that's the nerve. Here we go.
Let's go. Start it. The radio.
The truth hurts. People do not talk about Jack Nicholson's role as the Joker the way they talk about Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger died, though. But go ahead, continue.
Oh, you know what, Captain? You just took the words right out of my mouth. I've been on Facebook on this comic forum for the last 2 days. It's like Game of Thrones. I wish if I could go back in time, find a DeLorean with a flux capacitor, go back in time, and take out Jack Nicholson as soon as Tim Burton's Batman was released, they'd still be talking about Nicholson's performance.
Listen, I love Jack Nicholson's performance. I'm not saying, but I'm just telling you that if you're really going to be honest, people seem to be more about the Ledger role. They seem to be talking more about that.
Okay.
It's going to be one of the greatest debates of all time. Nicholson or Ledger? Nicholson. I just had this debate at work. Nicholson or Ledger? And I keep on saying Mark Hamill. But what this proves, tying back into D-Bert's side point, is I want, if they do this Black Panther film, I want a two-picture guarantee on it. The first film has to be fun. It has to be fun to get all those people on the fence digging the character. You could drop some knowledge, but it has to be fun. And then, and this is the Afro Nerd hopes, that the second film, a la, you know, Empire Strikes Back, a la Winter Soldier, that's where you hit them with the seriousness. That's where you come with the crushing perspective. That's where you come with what is your true identity. Are you the leader? Are you a hero? Are you the first film for Black Panther can't be serious. It has to be fun to get those people in. Like Captain said, you got to make it so that the pulp culture, that the mainstream, they want to buy his stuff and go and see the second film. You know, like Captain America. The first Captain America, it wasn't that serious. It was fun. But then the second one, they dropped an anvil on everybody's heads. That's what Black Panther's got to be. That's what you got to hope for, D-Bert. Back to you.
Well, you know, and, you know, also, you know, this is the whole thing, too. And this is what Bison was talking about, that, you know, slowly but surely, black folks are being X'd out of things. The minstrel stuff, it seems to be the guaranteed money. And anything else that's going to respect you, they seem to not be able to do. And we seem to be willing participants in this kind of stuff, and it's hurting us. Because, you know, listen, they don't want to necessarily invest in a female action film either. You know, Wonder Woman has a tough time because, for whatever reason, we seem not to want to get behind a woman or a minority as a titular character when it comes down to these properties. So, but when they succeed, then folks wonder, well, what happened?
That's why I'm rooting hard for Lucy.
That's why I'm rooting hard for Lucy, man. I'm rooting
hard. That's what has to happen. You're right. That's what has to happen. You know? That's what has to happen.
Well, listen,
Lucy's
see,
the movie.
The Hunger Games dispels all this crap. Okay? You got to – I mean, it's just more work. No one wants to do the work. That goes to black folks and white folks together. No one wants to do the work to make sure these things actually work. I keep on repeating, for someone like Quentin Tarantino to make $500 million from Django, I think Django was his most successful film today, money wise. Django made about slavery, mixing genres, slavery and Western, Southern, however you want to put it, made more money than some of the other films that Tarantino's more known for. Now, how did that happen? Because he put out a terrific product, and for the Black Panther, you're going to have somebody like that attached to it, I think, to really bring home that money. If the right guy is behind Black Panther, it could potentially make more money than even Captain America, if it's done the right way. And if you got the right actor, you might have to get Lupita on the scene to be his sister. If you got to get the right people. Now, Lupita's going to be in Star Wars. So I'm thinking it makes sense for her to be, because she's African. What about that, gentlemen?
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, if there is one.
Yes, the theory.
Yo, that's crazy. Okay.
All right, listen. I'm going to move things along a little bit. I'm going to keep Q on for one more segment, if he'd like to stick around. I think he might want to chomp at the bit on this one. Let's talk about Justin Bieber.
Oh.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. I'm going to play this clip, a clip that I agree with, but everybody else seems not to agree with it. This is Don Lemon weighing in on Justin Bieber. FYI, I concur. But I'm hearing some folks, they don't agree. So hold on. This is Don Lemon commenting on Justin Bieber. For those who have been living under a rock, there's two videos out now with Justin Bieber going into racist language, racist shenanigans. It's a mess. Second one. The first one, he slid by it somewhat. The second one, I don't know. This might be the death knell. Hold on.
Heard exclusively on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
If the truth they speak is saving lives, we should listen.
You can't handle the truth.
You don't want to hear the truth.
From our New York studios up in Harlem, Don Lemon.
Good morning, y'all. Good morning. Y'all know y'all heard people say, yeah, Justin Bieber think he's black? Well, today he is in trouble. The 20-year-old trouble pop singer is now getting heat because of back-to-back N-word scandals, both of which were caught on tape. Both incidences were a few years back when Bieber was a teenager. The first one, it surfaced on Monday. He was 15 years old when, with the cameras rolling, he told a racist joke. A video was posted on TMZ of Bieber asking, "Why are black people afraid of chainsaws?" He then answered his own question with the statement, "Run," imitating the sound of a chainsaw. That's the N-word if you say it properly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He apologized in a statement by saying, "As a young man, I didn't understand the power of certain words and how they can hurt. I thought it was okay to repeat hurtful words and jokes, but didn't realize at the time that it wasn't funny and that, in fact, my actions were continuing the ignorance." Okay. So that the first one, that was when he was 15. Then 2 days later, another video surfaced of Bieber changing the words of one of his hit songs. It's called "One Less Lonely Girl" to "One Less Lonely N-Word," and then singing about joining the KKK. Now, according to CNN, a source close to the singer said the teen immediately realized his error and told his mentors, Usher and Will Smith, about the video. So he's got black friends now. By the way, Usher wrote the song, the original one. Not the N-word one. The source says that Usher then showed Bieber some historically racist videos to teach him about the hurtful nature of such words, and Bieber takes full responsibility for his youthful actions. Here's the problem with that. He supposedly had learned his lesson from this incident, which happened when he was 14. The second one that surfaced happened when he was 14. If he had in fact learned that lesson, then that first incident that surfaced when he was 15 years old would never have happened because he would have learned his lesson. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So some are wondering, is Bieber racist? Is he? I don't know. But I do know this. This is a danger of the proliferation of the use of the N-word. People hear it in music. They hear it on the street. They hear it almost everywhere they go, and subliminally, they become immune without even realizing it. Very frequently, I hear young people of all ages in public who can barely get through a sentence without using the word, even calling each other N-words, of all different ethnicities. Now, clearly, Justin Bieber, a young man who, by the way, has immersed himself in black hip-hop culture, should not be saying that word. So the question is, if you want people like Justin Bieber to stop using it and to stop making excuses for it, shouldn't you do the same?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you, Don.
Yeah. You don't. You never hear people that can't get through a sentence without saying, "I told the N-word," and, you know, the N-word.
That's what you hear. That's what you hear in New York all the time.
I hear it. I heard it twice on the train. Once going to work on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Once coming back on Tuesday. One was a girl, an Hispanic girl. One was a white guy.
And nothing happened to him.
Mm-mm. Nope.
That's New York. You go down to Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia. Oh, we're not taking none of that down.
You daring people to say it and fighting.
Yeah. Say it.
but we're fighting
down south.
And we should be honest with each other. We hear people all the time. And I think sometimes you may not even hear it because you're so used to it, but can't get through a sentence without saying it. Where does that come from?
Comedy shows.
So? It comes from comedy shows. Don Lemon this morning.
All right, we're back once again. That is CNN correspondent Don Lemon actually doing double duty on the Tom Joyner show, and he is weighing in on Justin Bieber, pop star Justin Bieber, worth in excess of $100 million or more. And he's correct. He has immersed himself in, I would say, more ratchet culture. Ratchet culture, just like his friend Miley Cyrus has decided to latch himself on to that aspect of black culture. But I'm disturbed by the reactions to Don Lemon more so than to Justin Bieber. Because when you go around the horn on the internet, you go to the interwebs, the cyberwebs, I'm looking at one article now. This is from Gawker. Gawker says, has it the article on Lemon saying, it's opened up by saying moronic. Moronic CNN anchor blames black people for Bieber's use of racial slur. And there's another, I think I saw a few other ones. Now, Gawker is a white-owned business, but there are other black-themed blogs that would say gay anchor. You know, that's how gay anchor Don Lemon, such and such. Oh, they would open it up with insulting him. His sexual preference doesn't have anything to do with this discussion, with this issue. But when they don't like you, they're going to bring something up on you. So I thought that I'm disturbed by many who seem to want to be dismissive about what he's going into. We do have a cultural problem that has made the N-word ubiquitous and normative. You can deny it as much as you want, but there is a line of thinking that we have somewhat, I wouldn't say we, but let's say this cultural phenomenon has normalized the use of the word to such a degree that someone at 14, 15 who's white is not going to be grounded enough to know this is wrong. He was a little too comfortable while being filmed, which is another thing. The camera's rolling and you're so out of it. So let's go to Q on this. Q, what are your thoughts about this? Is Don Lemon off base or what?
Well, I first want to say I'm curious to know which black church Justin Bieber is going to go to repent.
Anyone. Pick a card. Any card.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm not going to mention any names, but I was on a podcast earlier today, and this we talked about this subject. And I spoke. I did not offer any defense or apologies for what Justin Bieber said, but I kind of broached the same topic as Mr. Lemon. And I'm not going to mention any names because that person might be listening. And I got put on the coon train. I got put on the coon train. Now, I will say this. To this person's credit, they did mount a good defense in terms of, you know, I brought up the fact that, you know, we have, you know, bought and sold this word and spread it globally through the Internet, through our music, through our entertainment. But this person made a good point that, well, at no point have we ever talked about joining the KKK and joining, you know, what equates to a terrorist group. So it's a little bit of a different level when you start making that type of a joke. We're using the N-word back and forth, but we're not so insane to talk about joining the KKK and a group that has lynched us in the past. So that's kind of where I jump off. But, no, I'm with Don Lemon all the way. I'm with him. I think he makes a good point.
I don't understand these. You know something, Q? You need to call me up if you need someone to, a heavy hitter to really slam these people, these folks, because their arguments aren't measuring up worth a they're not measuring up worth a cup of spit. There's no measure to it. We have a problem. You can't expect. Listen, they're trying to find because I mean let's put it this way, Q. Because I know where you're going with this, and I know I've seen this all around the Internet. I've seen the commenters, they're calling. They're more upset about Don Lemon than they are about the minstrels and the people that are really doing us harm as far as our international presence and being taken seriously as a people. You know, these Nicki Minajs, these literal bozos, clowns, are making it hard for us to move to the next level. We are not winning. Africans, the originals, are doing better than African Americans. Their kids are getting the grades and going to these elite schools, while we continue to have our noses flared and our mouths open and angry all the time. And we're being clowned when Sterling can go, as you said, go to a church and seek forgiveness, and we'll get it. So these people who are angry at Don Lemon, the word is being has been sold back and forth and bartered for 25 years. I've been in the car. I told the story umpteen times on NPR and on this show. I've been in a car, and the car next to me, white females singing along with DMX, "My Niggas," in some kind of nigga orgasm. They were singing it so they loved singing it so much. It was so seductive. When they saw me, they put their windows up and got real scared. They didn't have anything to fear from me. I wanted them to continue singing because they bought the damn record. now that is the reality. Now we have to search for, well, he went into KKK language and all that kind of stuff. We know that, but you know what? That's searching. Because if he didn't say that, you still wouldn't have liked it. The fact that he had the comfort is the issue. He had comfort. I don't care if he's 14. Two, the deal is he had comfort on while a camera was rolling to go into that kind of cadence. And the reason why is because we've become so comfortable culturally with our own degradation, shouting out World Star Hip Hop, shouting out Bossip, shouting out NTO. We've become so comfortable with playing the clown that everybody can jump in and clown you too. But when the clown goes a little too sharp with his knife, then you want to get funky.
I use those exact same examples that you just brought up. That's why I had to laugh.
Well, they're a bunch of
deniers. But you know, having said that, Justin, I still want to kick his ass. I'm not going to lie. No matter how many times we use the word with each other, and no matter the argument Don Lemon makes, a valid argument, I mean, still, he has to be held accountable for, you know, what he said.
Listen, don't
he has,
problem,
he has, He has yet to apologize. Donald Sterling has yet to apologize. I haven't heard any of these guys say, I'm sorry.
He already did. He already did. He apologized.
Oh, okay.
He apologized for the first video. Now I think his team is telling him not to go on an apology tour. So he's going to, you know, listen, the reality is that because the term has become pop culture now, it has lessened the blow. The gays have taken over, all right? If you say anything that you saw the pleading and the begging that Jonah Hill went through in the last couple of days, okay? He was full apology because he knows that the gay hammer is going to come down strong, all right? We have lost that. We have lost that. We have no pull, Q. That's the issue. Captain, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, this is what I say in a situation such as this. The first man without any sin. That being said, Russell Simmons said years ago, the great record mogul, Russell Simmons, that 80% of the rap music was bought by white people. And on these records, these CDs, tape cassettes, a lot of the N-word was being used at the given time. So you have inception memes right there. So in other words, it has been bought and sold. Now, I know a lot of lower frequency black people, that's the term I'm going with, lower frequency. When you have higher frequency, you're more energetic. That means you're more intelligent, just so you know. So these a lot of lower frequency black people, they get really upset because the white guy is using the term. How do you get upset after I sold you a product that originally was a derogatory term and still is for me, but I sold you this product, licensed it to you, and you're using it. You came into my shop and said, here's the word, pay for it, you go out and use it and you get upset. That's low frequency thinking. That's number one. Number two, pertaining to the KKK, yes, we have all the historical information pertaining to the KKK and what they do and what they have done to black people. But we have the black KKK called the Bloods and Crips, and none of these low frequency blacks really go in heavily when these low-frequency type of gang members are killing each other, black people running around. What's going on? You're very low-frequency when it comes to these type of arguments. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's totally idiotic at this point in juncture in time. Doesn't make any sense. It does not compute. It does not compute. You low-frequency idiots. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
To the uncanny. Daryl, your thoughts on this issue? I was getting some background noise from you, Sutter.
Yeah, sorry. Trains were passing me by as I wait for mine to head into the city. Honestly, he's done exactly, or him or his people has done exactly what they intended to do. His name is relevant again. His last album tanked, just like Miley Cyrus tanked. Needed something shocking, needed something provocative. Get my name out there. I need to be made. Oh, he used the N-word as a 15-year-old, 14-year-old kid. Oh, should he apologize?
That's a good point.
All right? It worked. It worked. We're talking about it. All right? As simple as that. Look. For people to get mad at Mr. Lemon, for people to get mad at us for how we do this, fine, okay? But just remember, once you use it, then guess what? You can't judge anybody for using it, all right? I make it a practice that I don't use it. Sure, I listen to stuff that contain it, all right? And that's the problem with this generation compared to prior ones. There is no restraint in using it. It's not an art form anymore. It's now something out of a 99-cent shop. You can get it on the corner. N-word, variation. So guess what? Once that happens, you lost the right to be mad. Back to you, D-Bert.
You know, Darryl, you know, he came at it again. That's why he's called the Uncanny. I have to give credit where credit is due. He really laid it out because that's what he really what it really boils down to. Because past generations have used the N-word in art, but it was used very sparingly, and it was used more as a bullet almost, almost a tangible thing. It was never meant to be cheapened. It was meant to be very, very harsh in its usage. It wasn't never meant to be normalized. Even the great Richard Pryor, who caught criticism for using the word, he was one guy doing it. And oftentimes, his act had a lot of poignancy to it. It wasn't just, and then he came around to it. Even he having made a trip to Africa and saying he realized, well, you know, there's no niggas here. You know, the dynamic has changed. He felt different about himself. But there was a lot more depth to his usage than how we're seeing it now. Now, you know, the millennials and before the millennials, they've had this very nonchalant thing. Well, this is my music, and they're not thinking that there's a white audience that you are selling this to. Once you sell your product, you have to deal with what comes back out at you. But for people to get on Don Lemon for pointing out the frequency of how this word is being used, I mean, and calling him and accused that he was treated a certain way, I have been treated a certain way, Dr. Cosby, all these people that are telling you the reality of what happens on the street level, they're not dealing with this. These people are not really dealing with this on a street level. They're dealing with it as a theory. Don Lemon is a New Yorker living in Harlem. Even though he's a well-paid correspondent, he still mingles on a certain level. And in the subway with young folk, he sees how it's being bandied about. So you see what you see, and now you can't comment on it. Now you can't see. If you see water coming from a drain, now you can't say that I see water on the ground. You can't make the comment according to these people. It's ridiculous. You have albums with the name as the top name. There was a recent record called My Niggas or something like that. I Love My Niggas, something to that. Now it's called My Hittles. I think it's called My Niggas is the actual terminology. But they have done a radio edit. It's called My Hittles or whatever. I mean, come on. Wow. I'm more disturbed about how he was treated than I am about – I've already forgot about Justin Bieber, to tell you the truth. I'm less concerned about him and more concerned about our reaction to unpacking on realities. Wow. Captain, any thoughts? And then we're going to move – I'm going to go to a groove, and then we're going to move to the next topic.
Good radio. This show is a good show. Playback is going to be crazy.
Well, listen, that's what we do. This show may be too intelligent for conventional radio because we're able to hash out this stuff, and we're going to confront you. I'm going to confront your ass. I'm not going to let you. I mean, I wish I was on the show that the podcast that Q was on. I wouldn't let these.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the old
school
term for
that. Yeah, they might cut you off, Afro Nerd.
I'm not
going to.
That means that I won then. And I don't believe in winning arguments, but if you can't handle real discourse, if you can't handle facts and figures, then you know, I'm wasting my time anyway. I'm allowed to have my opinion without being told I'm an Uncle Tom. And you got to have get the Uncle Tom thing right before you start using it as pejorative anyway. Uncle Tom wasn't a damn Uncle Tom. Pick up the damn book, Negroes. I'll go old school on you. I'll be kind. That word's never going to go away, obviously. Offending it, actually. Those folks. All right, folks. Emotional radio, right, Captain?
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. I like how this is going down. This is good.
All right. You know what? Let's go to something a little bit different here. This is Spooks Afropunk. We'll be right back.
You cause a great upset to my reality, but I was not of the ball and upside down on me. My gaze on melted gold, take eyes away for me. But you show me pictures of thoughts I don't want to see. I could say the girl you.
Again, from the Afropunk compilation, Spooks, give you the best of urban alternative groove, folks. The call-in number for the Grindhouse mashup is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Are kind of getting into a festive conversation. You know what? Going back to Q-Storm, I think I still have him on hold. I'm going to bring him in for a moment. You know, there's something else here. See, I hate being so damn right. I have a certain way of speaking. And I know I come off a certain way because I have rarely been proven wrong when I talk about these matters. The captain, we go back and forth about this all the time. Even the captain's predecessor, Mr. Starks, we always find something to prove our point. Even in the article that I was referencing from Gawker about Don Lemon, there's a link of other topics. There's another topic, and this topic is entitled "White Georgia Teens Celebrate Graduation with Nigga We Made It Signs." Let me repeat that again. This is another topic, another link that I didn't click on, but the topic of the next article is white Georgia teens celebrate graduation, nigga, we made it signs. Come on, man. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Your friends at the other podcast, they need a rude awakening.
You know, I put out there, I wonder if, you know, the fact that, because we touched on the fact that, you know, we have a black president sitting in the Oval Office, and his approval rating now sits at around, what, 32-33%? So
right,
he's
wow.
catching a lot of heat from all different parts of the spectrum politically. So I surmise that, you know, I think a lot of this stuff is bubbling to the surface now because people now feel comfortable expressing to some degree how they really feel about a certain segment of the society because they see so many people criticizing our president who is black. And that's just a theory of mine.
Well, I concur with you. I think that the minstrelsy has, for the lack of a better word, ratcheted itself up. Emphasis on the word ratchet. Has moved up since Obama has been in office. There is a certain comfort level, whereas with the gay folk, because they're the next protected class that seems to be getting a certain degree of respect, no one wants to go in that direction of insulting them, being not everyone, but there seems to be an agenda on the flip side of people who feel like, well, we better not disrespect them. Let's walk on eggshells with them. Because if you say something, it could be financially deleterious toward you. It's going to be hell to pay if you start to screw with these people. I think at some point we might have had that. But when you have such a all-encompassing cultural standard now where it is expected to be disrespected on the black side, it's such a self-loathing in our culture now that it's all good. It's all good. Nigga, we made it. It's all good. Come on. How much evidence do we have to provide for people on these podcasts to get to wake the F up? This is ridiculous. Matter of fact, there was a special T-shirt, Kathy. You remember for the New York Knicks that was taken off? There was a T-shirt that had the same New York Knicks logo, and it was the New York, we can inference, the New York niggas. And the majority of them were probably sold for black people, though. So who would wear... Who in their right mind would wear a T-shirt that has the New York Knicks logo that says New York niggas? Who do you think is going to buy that? I mean, now the game is wide open. But from my understanding, it was a whole bunch of black kids that were buying these T-shirts. And you're going to make it more comfortable. You have a cultural standard. The millennials especially are making folks more comfortable to let it all hang out. They don't care. Amazing. Oh, 312.
Let's go to Chi-Town.
I want to move along quickly. There's another topic I want to touch on as well. We got about 5 minutes. I want to talk about actually Neil deGrasse Tyson was somewhat disrespected on Fox. Well, you would expect that. But one of the commenters had said that Tyson is being fawned over he's being fawned over mostly by white liberal nerds. He seems to discredit this astrophysicist, just kind of very dismissive about him. But then black folks have not embraced Dr. Tyson like they should. So, I mean, you know, he's on his own. 312, Serge, welcome.
Yeah, hey, real fast, when you were talking about how you can't say anything against the gay community, remember what happened this week with Jonah Hill? Went on this – he did. Right.
Apology
he went on this
tour.
Big apology tour because this guy, you know, because he threw some anti-gay slurs at this guy who was harassing him. And, right, you know, you hit around the head. If you don't respect yourself, how do you expect anybody else to respect you?
The culture is too much about self-loathing. the hair weave pulling, the music that's of a poor quality, the pants sagging, the talk shows, the reality shows, the radio shows. I mean, the internet, the world star hip hop. They're getting more gigs. I mean, it's starting to build up, gentlemen. We're talking about an industry that's rivaling General Motors of Niggerdom, Inc. Niggerdom, Inc. If it were a stock market, it would be like a tech stock. And I hate to say Niggerdom, Inc., because somebody would probably use that. Niggerdom, Inc. could be a company. I mean, you know, this is what it is. And these fools that want to put their necks in the sand and say, well, you know, we can't excuse Justin Bieber. Come on, man. Justin Bieber, look who he's hanging with. I don't get these people that are in denial. They're pretending like this stuff doesn't have a cumulative effect. It has to have effect. Nigga, we made it. White teenagers at a graduation put up signs. Why would they be that comfortable? Why are they so comfortable doing that? Because it has no repercussion for it.
Yeah.
You put faggots we made it, there's going to be hell to pay. There's going to be a problem. But if you got it on wax and in movies and all kinds of evidence, you have 6-foot brolic women on SNL cracking jokes about slavery sex. I mean, it's Black Bozo Inc. Black Bozo Incorporated. That's what we're dealing with now. It's crazy. Black folks are crazy. They're crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I've had more people critique me for calling myself a nerd than if I had called myself a nigger. Get that. Being an Afro nerd or a blurt is more threatening than being a nigger.
That's crazy.
Black people are crazy.
And black
crazy.
People have too much self-hatred. It's self-hatred. It maybe has increased over the years, or maybe it was always there, and now it feels black people feel more comfortable talking about how much they hate themselves. But it's black hatred. It's self-hatred, no matter how you cut it or slice it.
Third, you get a hefty check for it. That's the issue. Cartoon Network, that's true.
Adult Swim is calling.
You're getting a check. They're not giving me a check for being a nerd. If this was Afro Niggas, oh, they'd be calling. They would be calling. I have a 2014 Porsche in my driveway now, Sergio. I would.
Uh-huh.
They would be calling. It is what it is. Any thoughts on Tyson being disrespected on Fox?
Very quickly, you know, I don't pay attention to what happens in Fox. The average viewer of Fox News is a 68-year-old white guy. They're playing to their audience, right? You got all these angry, bitter old white men who feel that they've been shafted in life, and, you know, Tyson, you know, fits their theory. I mean, you know, Tyson, who's this black guy who thinks he's smarter than me? Don't say it about Ben Carson, who I do not like. Ben Carson they love. But Tyson, you know, he's a liberal. He's easy to get.
I agree with you. Listen, gentlemen, we're going to have to pick this up on Wednesday. Sergio, 2 hours and down to seconds. You got to come through a little bit earlier. This was a mashup where everything was together, so I guess you didn't know.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
No issues. Gentlemen, we'll do it again on Wednesday for the 7:30 show, folks. The Midweek in Review has been a pleasure. Captain, Uncanny, Q, Bison. As always, this is KRS-One, a friend. See you on Wednesday. It's been real.
The beat's supposed to drop right there. The beat's supposed to drop right there. The beat's supposed to drop right there. I send this one out to my right-hand man, or men, or women, the whole crew, real fans. Count the door, kick up, blow a chill out, watching videos, or acting really silly, yo, but really though, all I could end. Whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in a supercar, I really don't care who you are, all I really need is a friend.
can't have trust, then you can't hang with us. We respond to those who show respect with respect. We respond, we connect on the same deck, same intellect. My man, never shift these things quickly if you can't understand. We boys, we boys, we can stand on the corner with a hat selling toys. It ain't about your bends, I hope it ain't about mine, my man. I be dissing in my freestyle rhyme, getting G's around the world. I can trust you with my girl, my man. We chillin' at the jam, what's the plan? I'm not a yes man, and none of my friends are yes men or women. I'm driving, I see my feet, you get in, where you fit in. True friends are quick to sit in the beginning of all trouble. And when your bank goes double, Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. Still I got my own space like Hubble. We can count the dough or pick the flow or chill out watching videos or acting really silly. Yo, but really though, all acting and whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in a trooper car, I really don't care who you are. All I really need is a friend. Nobody care about us, all they do is doubt us. Until we blow the spot, then they all wanna crowd us and wanna shout us. But you my man from way back, I just got to say that. Acting large, I don't play that, but I can't say that. Where I play at isn't fast pace. A friend can apply the taste to become two-faced. And that's a disgrace, there ain't nothing you can say to us. When the kid you grew up with betrayed your trust. When we used to ride the bus, we had trust. Now we cash check to drive less and can't show respect to one of us. Yo, the heads I hang with ain't trying to just get what they can get. Sit quickly, backstabbing quick. I wrote thick, but only some of friends really down to the end. My right hand, men and women, mutual support from the beginning. Been in exactly what I've been in. We can count the dough or kick the flow or chill out watching videos or acting really silly. Yo, but really though, all acting and whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in the trooper car, I really don't care who you are. All I really need is a friend. Back to back, we attack corporate America. Getting fees that amount to cheese in every area. You my man, I ain't gotta drag you along. You pull your own way, yeah, you definitely got it going on. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bumping. Car system thumping between the crew. We always got nothing, but if we had nothing, no frontin' whatever, we still be crew, you and me, me for you together. Word, fake people ain't worth a turn. They only wanna be your friend because of what they overheard. I send this record to the well-respected friends that I've collected. I hope I am what you expected. Yeah, so check it, so check it. We could count the dough or kick the flow, but chill out watching videos or acting really silly. Yo, but really no, all acting and whether at the bar with superstars or cruising in a trooper car, I really don't care who you are. All I really need is a friend.